بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Most Compassionate.
تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم.
The revelation of this book is from Allah, the Most Mighty, the Most Wise. The revelation of this book is from Allah, the Most Mighty, the Most Wise. This constitutes a short introduction to the surah. It emphasizes that, contrary to the contention of his opponents, the Prophet, peace be upon him, had no hand in the authorship of the Quran. Far from that, it is God's own word that he himself revealed. It is forcefully stressed that people should not treat the Quran lightly. Instead, they should take its contents with utter seriousness. In this connection, two attributes of God have been mentioned in order to highlight two realities pertaining to the Quran. One, that God, who has revealed the Quran, is most mighty. Hence, no power can prevent his will from being done or his decrees from coming into effect. Two, that God is most wise. Hence, the Quran's guidance is steeped in wisdom. So, it is only those who are ignorant or foolish that turn away from it. For further details, see Al-Sajda 32, Note 1, Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 8, pages 156 to 7.
Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haqti fa'budillaha mukhlisan lahu al-deen.
O Prophet, it is we who have revealed this book to you with truth. So serve only Allah, consecrating your devotion to Him. O Prophet, it is we who have revealed this book to you with truth. That is, the Quran is all truth and veracity, altogether unblemished by falsehood. So serve only Allah, consecrating your devotion to Him. This is a very important verse which enunciates the objective of Islam's mission. One should therefore pay due attention rather than cursorily pass over it. It comprises two basic points which need to be grasped in order to understand this verse. One, man is asked to worship God. Two, the worship that he is required to render is characterized by exclusive and total devotion and obedience to God. Abd is the root word of ibadah. The word abd is used in Arabic as an antonym of the one who is free, hence denoting a slave, one who is in someone else's ownership. Hence, ibadah has two meanings. One, worship and devotion as mentioned in the renowned standard dictionary of Arabic Lisan al-Arab. To say about someone, abadallah, he worshipped God, means ta'allahu lahu, he held him to be God. As for the word ta'abbud, it means tanasuk, to be pious, devout, and otherworldly. 2. To render service with utter humility, to obey someone cheerfully. According to Lisan al-Arab, ibadah is obedience. The linguistic meaning of ibadah is obedience with submissiveness and humility. He who obeyed dana, a king, is his abid. Wa qawmahumma lana abidun. An abid is he who humbles himself before his Lord, surrendering himself and obeying his command. A person is said to have worshipped Taghut, Satan, if he obeys Satan by following his commands and doing whatever he entices and misleads him to do. To say, Iyyaka na'budu, we worship you alone, means that we obey you with humility. Ubudu Rabbakum means obey your Lord. Thus, according to these authoritative lexical explanations, what is required of man is not only to worship God and be devoted to Him, but also to obey Him unquestioningly and willingly, and to adhere to His law and carry out His commands with all his heart and soul. As for the word deen, it carries several meanings in Arabic. For example, dominance, authority, overlordship, and the power to enforce one's decisions over others. Lisan al-Arab says, Dana al-Nasa, meaning that he overpowered people to obedience. Likewise, to say, Dintahum, means that I overpowered them. To say dintahum also means that I subjugated them and became their master and possessed them. It is said in a hadith, Al-kayyis mandana nafsuhu, meaning the clever one is he who subdued his self, that is, humbles it and enslaves it. The word al-dayan means judge, arbitrator, or ruler. To say wala anta dayani means you are not someone who has overpowered me so that you would rule over my affairs. To say makana liya khuddu akahu fi din al malik means that his brother did not have the authority to bring him to be judged by the law of the king. The other connotation of deen is that of obedience, servitude, and slavery. According to Lisan al-Arab, deen means obedience. To say dintuhu or dintu lahu means I obeyed him. Al-deen li Allah means that obedience and worship are consecrated for God. In a hadith it is said, Yuridu min Quraysh kalimatan, tadinnu lahum biha al-Arab. This means, I want from Quraysh the affirmation of a word that would lead the Arabs to become subservient to them. To say, Thumma danath ba'da al-rabab means, then the rabab became subservient to him and obeyed him. The expression, Yamrakunna min al-deen means that they went out of the fold of religion, meaning that they went out of the obedience of the imam, whose obedience is obligatory. The word al-madin means slave. In the statement, falawla in kuntum ghair madinin, the word madinin means slaves. The third meaning of deen is the way or custom which men generally follow. In view of these three meanings of the word deen, in this verse it signifies the attitude, the way of life one adopts in recognition of someone's supremacy. The words, so serve only Allah, consecrating your devotion to Him, means that one should not mix service to any others with service to God. Man is required to serve and worship God alone, to follow only His guidance, and to obey only His injunctions and commands.
أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصُ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ إن الله يحكم بينهم فيما هم فيه يختلفون إن الله لا يهدي من هو كاذب كفار.
Lo, religion is exclusively devoted to Allah. Your religion is entirely consecrated to Him. As for those who have taken others than Allah for their guardians, they say, we worship them only that they may bring us nearer to Allah. Allah will judge between them concerning what they differ about. Verily, Allah does not guide anyone who is given to sheer lying, is an utter unbeliever. Lo, religion is exclusively devoted to Allah.
Man is directed to exclusively worship God, for He alone deserves this. No one has any share in the worship and obedience that are due to Him. None other than God is entitled to be served, and he who serves any others besides God is guilty of a serious wrong. The same holds true with regard to him who adulterates service to God with service to others. This verse is best explained by the following hadith cited by Ibn Murdawi on the authority of Yazid al-Rakashi. Someone asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, whether he would receive any reward for the money he donates in order to attain renown. To this he replied in the negative. When the same person asked about his act of charity, which was motivated by earning God's reward as well as fame in this world, the Prophet, peace be upon him, clarified, God accepts only what one does exclusively for His sake. After making this observation, the Prophet, peace be upon him, recited the verse under discussion. See Al-Suyuti Al-Dur Al-Mantur, comments on Surah Al-Zumar 39, 2-3.
your religion, is entirely consecrated to Him. As for those who have taken others than Allah for their guardians, they say, "We worship them only that they may bring us nearer to Allah."
Although the polytheists of Mecca and the polytheists of the world over, for that matter, recognized God as the Creator and looked upon Him as their Lord, they claimed that they did not worship any objects or beings other than God as their Creator, and that the purpose of their worship of their deities was simply to have access to the Creator through them.
Allah will judge between them concerning what they differ about.
It should be clearly understood that monotheism alone can lead to unity and concord among human beings. As for polytheism, it cannot bring about any consensus. Polytheists can never agree as to who has the power to grant them access to God. Although some credit their gods and goddesses with this ability, they differ as regards the exact identity of those gods and goddesses. Some look upon the moon, the sun, or Mars and Venus as their intercessors with God. Nevertheless, they cannot fully decide which one of these occupies the highest position in the hierarchy. Some believe that the saints of the past can draw them close to God, although there are fierce differences among them on this matter. Some believe in one saint and others in another. These disagreements are quite understandable, for the assumptions about these holy people are not based on any authentic knowledge, nor did God provide them with a list of those holy people who are highly stationed with Him and who could therefore serve as intermediaries for access to Him. In fact, notions such as the ones mentioned above gained currency among people merely because of superstitiousness, blind adoration, and uncritical following of eminent people of the past. This being the case, serious disagreements were bound to occur in determining who were the true intermediaries between God's creatures and their Lord.
Verily, Allah does not guide anyone who is given to sheer lying, is an utter unbeliever.
God brands polytheists as liars and utter unbelievers. They are also called kuffar. This word has two meanings. One, that they are diehard unbelievers, for even after monotheism has been expounded to them, they still cling to their false polytheistic notions. Two, they are an ungrateful lot. This because while they receive all possible bounties from God, they do not give thanks to Him. They rather give thanks to those deities whom they have come to believe to be the means for these bounties.
لو أراد الله أن يتخذ ولدا لاصطفى مما يخلق ما يشاء سبحانه هو الله الواحد القهار.
If Allah had wanted to take to Himself a son, He could have chosen anyone He wanted out of those whom He creates. Glory be to Him that He should have a son. He is Allah, the One, the Overpowering. If Allah had wanted to take to Himself a son, He could have chosen anyone He wanted out of those whom He creates.
That God betook a son is simply out of the question. At most, God might elevate some creature's rank with Him. However, no exalted person, howsoever high his station, can be God's issue. For there is a world of difference between the Creator and the creature. Having a child necessarily implies that the two belong to the same species, which is impossible in this case. The present verse makes it quite clear that God never intended to take anyone as His son. If Allah had wanted to take to Himself a son, He could have chosen anyone He wanted to out of those whom He creates. It is clear, therefore, that God never wanted to take to Himself anyone as His son. Far from taking anyone as His son, He can never even entertain such an idea.
Glory be to Him that He should have a son. He is Allah, the One, the Overpowering.
These arguments totally repudiate the notion of God's sonship. The first and foremost argument is that God is free from every imperfection, flaw, or weakness. It is obvious that the person who needs a son does so because of his weakness and dependence on another. Since he himself is bound to die, he wants a son so as to ensure the perpetuity of his family and lineage. The same holds true of those who adopt someone because there is none to inherit them, or some do so out of their overflowing love and affection for a particular child. To ascribe these weaknesses to God and make the notion of sonship an article of faith simply betrays rank ignorance and intellectual short-sightedness. The second argument is that God is unique. He does not belong to any particular species, while children are born to members of the same species. Moreover, a child is simply inconceivable without marriage with a spouse who should also belong to the same species. Therefore, only an ignorant and foolish person can ascribe children to God. The third argument is that God is overpowering. He exercises total control over everything in the universe. No one, whether high or low, has even the slightest resemblance to Him that might be suggestive of any kinship with God.
خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق يكور الليل على النهار ويكور النهار على الليل وسخر الشمس والقمر كل يجري لأجل مسمى ألا هو العزيز الغفار.
He created the heavens and the earth with truth, and He folds up the day over the night, and folds up the night over the day. He has subjected the sun and the moon. Each is running its course until an appointed time. Lo, He is the most mighty, the most forgiving. He created the heavens and the earth with truth. For further details, see Ibrahim 14, note 26, and Al-Nahl 16, note 6, Towards Understanding the Quran, volume 4, pages 263 and 313, and Al-Ankabut 29, note 75, volume 8, page 40. And He folds up the day over the night, and folds up the night over the day. He has subjected the sun and the moon. Each is running its course until an appointed time. Lo, He is the most mighty, the most forgiving.
God is so powerful that were He to decide to punish someone, no one can prevent Him from doing so. He is nonetheless so gracious and kind that despite a person's blasphemy, He does not instantly seize him for punishment. Instead, He continues to grant him respite. The grant of respite rather than immediate punishment is mentioned here as a manifestation of God's attribute of forgiveness.
خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْأَنْعَامِ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَزْوَاجٍ يخلقكم في بطون أمهاتكم خلقا من بعد خلق في ظلمات ثلاث ذلكم الله ربكم له الملك لا إله إلا هو فأنى تصرفون.
He, it is who created you from a single being, and He, it is who made from it its mate. He, it is who created for you 8 heads of cattle in pairs. He creates you in your mother's wombs, giving you one form after another in threefold depths of darkness. That, then, is Allah your Lord. His is the kingdom. There is no God but He. So whence are you being turned astray? He, it is who created you from a single being, and He, it is who made from it its mate.
This does not mean that God first created human beings from Adam and then created Eve. Instead of a temporal sequence, what we find here is a certain sequence of propositions. Examples of this are found in all languages. We shall illustrate this by the following sentence. Your deeds of today are known to me, and so are your deeds of yesterday. This does not mean that the deeds of yesterday followed the deeds of today, though that happens to be the sequence in the sentence.
He, it is who created for you 8 heads of cattle in pairs. The reference here is to the camel, cow, sheep, and goat. Four males and four females of each species make a total of 8 heads of cattle. He creates you in your mother's wombs, giving you one form after another in threefold depths of darkness. The reference here is to the belly, the womb, and the membrane enveloping the fetus. That, then, is Allah, your Lord. God is the Lord, the Sovereign, and the Sustainer. His is the kingdom. God alone has all authority. His command is in force throughout the universe. There is no God but He. In other words, the reasoning is that since God alone is the Lord and the Sovereign, He alone should be worshipped. Others have no share in Godhead, since they have no share in His lordship and dominion. The unbelievers should know that God alone created the heavens and the earth, that He alone made the sun and the moon of service to man, that He alone alternates day and night, and that He alone brought all men, women, and animals into being. In view of the above, none else but He deserves to be served and worshipped. So whence are you being turned astray? The point is made in the passive voice as the unbelievers are asked, "Whence are you being turned astray?" What the statement implies is that someone is misguiding them. Hence, they fail to grasp something that is quite simple and straightforward, something that pertains to common sense. It is clear, nevertheless, that this Quranic discourse is addressed not to the evil ones who are misguiding people, but to those who, under the spell and overwhelming influence of evil ones, are going astray. It would have been futile to address those who were actively engaged in misguiding people. This because their pursuit was informed by their vested interests, which required that they should try to turn people away from service to the one true God and entice them to serve and keep serving others than Him. It is obvious that such people were not amenable to reason, for their interests lay in not seeing reason. In fact, even if such people had seen any reason in what they were told, it would be most unlikely for them to sacrifice their interests for the sake of truth. Those who really deserved sympathy, however, are the common people who had fallen prey to the enchanting delusions of those who were out to mislead.
إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرُ وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ.
If you disbelieve, know well that Allah has no need of you, yet He does not like unbelief in His servants. But if you are thankful, your thankfulness will please Him. No one shall bear another's burden. You are destined to return to your Lord, and He will tell you what you used to do. He is well aware, even of what lies hidden in your breasts. If you disbelieve, know well that Allah has no need of you. Their unbelief has no bearing on God's dominion. God continues to be the Supreme Lord, whether they accept this or not. God's overlordship needs no external support. It remains unaffected by its affirmation or denial by anyone. According to a hadith, Qudsi, the Prophet, peace be upon him, narrated that God said, "O my servants, if those of you of the earlier times and those of you of later times, the humans among you and the jinn among you, become like the heart of the most wicked person among you, nothing will diminish of my kingdom." Muslim, Kitab al-Bir wa al-Sila wa al-Adab bab Tahrim al-Zulm. Yet He does not like unbelief in His servants. It is not out of consideration for any interest of God's, but rather in consideration of man's own interest, that God does not desire that humans succumb to unbelief, for unbelief is detrimental to the latter's own interest. It should be noted that there is a difference between God's will and His pleasure. Nothing can take place without God's will. Man can, however, do what does not please God. Indeed, this happens quite often. There are tyrants, wrongdoers, thieves, highway robbers, murderers, as well as people guilty of illicit sex. All this is because God has made it possible for people to commit evil in the natural scheme of things that He has created. By the same token, He makes it possible for the righteous to perform good deeds. Had He not provided opportunities for this, there would have been no good and evil in this world. The existence of good and evil is an integral part of God's design. However, all that happens does not necessarily enjoy God's pleasure. For example, if one resolves to earn one's bread by unlawful means, God lets one do so. This is part of His dispensation. However, the person who draws his sustenance through robbery or bribery should not think that God approves of such means of earning. Likewise, He has granted man the freedom to disbelieve insofar as He does not force man to become a believer. However, God disapproves of His creatures refusing to believe in their Creator and Sustainer. Whilst this is ruinous for them, it will not cause the least damage to God's dominion. But if you are thankful, your thankfulness will please Him. The word used here as the opposite of kufr is shukr, thankfulness, rather than iman, faith, belief. This automatically shows that unbelief consists of denying God's favors, whereas faith is an expression of one's gratefulness to God for His bounties. Thankfulness to God and faith in Him complement each other. In contrast, an unbeliever is devoid of gratefulness, and disbelief makes gratitude meaningless. No one shall bear another's burden. Every man bears responsibility for his own deeds. If someone chooses to disbelieve in order to please others or to avoid their displeasure, others will not be taken to task for that person's unbelief. Rather, they will ultimately leave that person to face the consequences of his unbelief. Anyone who recognizes the distinction between belief and unbelief should instantly give up unbelief and join the camp of belief. Furthermore, the person who chooses belief should not incur eternal perdition out of deference to one's family, community, or nation.
وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَا رَبَّهُ مُنِيبًا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً مِّنْهُ نَسِيَ مَا كَانَ يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ مِن قَبْلُ وَجَعَلَ لِلَّهِ أَندَادًا لِّيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِهِ قُلْ تَمَتَّعْ بِكُفْرِكَ قَلِيلًا إنك من أصحاب النار.
When any affliction befalls man, he cries out to his Lord, penitently turning to Him. But when his Lord bestows His favor upon him, he forgets the affliction regarding which he had cried out, and sets up compeers to Allah that they may lead others astray from His path. Say, O Prophet, enjoy your unbelief for a while. Surely, you will be among the inmates of the fire. When any affliction befalls man, reference here is to the unbelieving person who is thankless to God despite his bounties. He cries out to his Lord, penitently turning to Him. In times of crisis, even the polytheist abandons his false gods and turns in desperation to the one true God, the Lord of the universe. This highlights the fact that in the depths of his heart, even the polytheist realizes that his deities are powerless. Within him, too, there is the realization that God alone has all power and authority. But when his Lord bestows his favor upon him, he forgets the affliction regarding which he had cried out. Once man tides over his straits, he tends to forget that in utter desperation he had eschewed all false gods and turned to the one true God in prayer.
and sets up compeers to Allah.
He subsequently resumes worshipping and obeying and praying to beings other than God and making offerings to them,
that they may lead others astray from his path.
Such a person's error is not confined to himself. He also misleads others by telling them that some saint or idol had rescued him from his distress. This, in turn, leads others to adore those deities besides God. This, then, is how ignorant people continually contribute to the growth of error by narrating their so-called experiences.
أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب.
Is such a person preferable, or he who is obedient and prostrates himself in the watches of the night, stands in prayer, is fearful of the hereafter, and looks forward to the mercy of his Lord? Ask them, are those who know equal to those who do not know? Only those endowed with understanding take heed. Is such a person preferable, or he who is obedient and prostrates himself in the watches of the night, stands in prayer, is fearful of the hereafter, and looks forward to the mercy of his Lord? Ask them, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
Let it be clear that here two types of people are being compared. There is one who turns fervently to God in crisis, though he serves others than the one true God at other times. The other type of person is committed fully to obeying, worshipping, and glorifying God alone. That he worships him in the privacy of night underscores his sincere devotion to God. God brands the former kind as ignorant, as those who do not know, even if he might have devoured whole libraries. On the other hand, he characterizes the latter as those who know, even though they might be illiterate. For true knowledge consists in grasping the truth and acting according to it. This is what man's success and well-being depend on. In the sight of God, these two different types of people cannot be considered alike. Since they follow different ways in this life, they will not and cannot have the same end in the next.